I wanted to teach a little bit tonight about faith. I think if the single women come, if any of them want to go downstairs, that's fine at this time. Amen. I'm so glad for the different ministries that we have in the church, because then we can tailor the teaching to a particular need. Amen. And I know there's quite a few people that are sick, but we are going to give God the glory nonetheless. Amen. So I want to talk about faith and receiving dominion. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. He gave them power and authority. Faith, what is faith, essentially? What's another word for faith? Say that again. Belief. Belief. So, is belief by itself enough? Well, that's what I want to talk about. What I'm trying to show you tonight is that there are different ways that faith can work, but if you want to be able to pray with authority, then you have had to been given authority. I want to make a little distinction tonight and show you some differences in believing in something and also being given authority. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Now, before he gave them this authority and power, do you believe they had faith? They were following him. Right. So they believed in Jesus. They believed that Jesus could heal. They had seen Jesus heal. They had seen Jesus deliver. And so they had faith, but they also needed to have authority. The Bible said he gave them power and authority over the devils and to cure diseases. And what I'm trying to teach tonight is that for some things, we need to have been given the authority. It's okay if we believe, but until we've been given the authority, we don't have in ourselves, by ourselves, the power to do it. God does, and so I'm trying to make a distinction in the way we pray. So let's look at this. I said Sunday that, and I said tonight, one of the most important things that we cannot lose is our faith. Luke chapter 22, 31. Not too long before Jesus was going to be crucified and they were at Jerusalem, they were trying to dissuade Jesus from going, and Jesus turned to Simon and he said, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Okay, so how does our faith fail? How does faith fail? A little bit louder, I can't hear you. Doubt, but what causes faith to fail? Yes, but what causes unbelief? True, but what causes us to not trust in God? Okay, what you hear. What you hear, can you expound on that? I know, everybody is so comfortable, they don't want to have to get up. Shall I come down to you? I want to get at the root of what causes faith to fail, because I think it's important. What causes faith to grow?
Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Okay, so faith grows by hearing. Mm-hmm. Faith fails by what?
Not hearing? Or hearing the wrong thing?
You can have bad faith, but faith usually fails by seeing. Because we do not see what we're expecting. Right? Or by looking at the wrong things. It's the other sense that kills us. The Bible says, because we walk not by sight, right? We walk by faith, but we don't walk by sight. And I think it's sight that really saps faith, because what we're doing is we're looking at the sense, what I call the tree knowledge. We're looking at what we see rather than what's not seen, which is very difficult. Isn't that what Paul says? Because we look to things unseen. How can you look at things? Because that's what faith is. So it's sight. It's looking at someone who is sick when you're praying for them and they're not healed immediately is what kills our faith. Because we see the current reality, though it's not the whole truth. Because I've taught you before that the whole truth would also be the spirit world, which we don't see. That's where faith comes in. So we look at what we see, and then doubt comes in. And that's why the scripture says that if you're going to walk, you got to walk by faith and not by sight. Because if you look at your present situation, you will start to doubt. And that's what kills faith, by looking. Isn't that what happened to Peter when he got out the boat? What made him start to sink? When he saw the winds and the waves and all this stuff, and he said, wait a minute, I can't walk on water. It's the senses that I said were opened up when we lost the spirit covering that takes away faith. It's very hard to believe when we're looking at something and that grounds our reality. And that's the problem where faith starts to fail, is when we look at the sense we can see rather than if we could catch a glimpse of the overall spirit world. Isn't that what happened to Elisha's servant? He looked at what he could see. In the story, the Assyrian king had sent a whole army to capture Elisha and his servant, and they were trapped in this town. And they sent a whole army and surrounded the town. And his servant lost faith, because what was he looking at? He was looking at the army. But that wasn't the whole truth, was it? Once his spiritual eyes were opened, then he, although the army was still there, that part of reality hadn't changed. But now he saw that around them, the whole hillside was surrounded by angels. And so, yes, what we see with our eyes is true, but it's not the whole picture. And that's where faith comes in. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And this is why it's so difficult, because we have this tree knowledge now, right? We look at our present circumstance and it looks, we even use that term, it looks impossible, because we're looking at it as it is without regard to the spirit realm, right? They couldn't see when Jesus cursed the tree that the roots had already shriveled up. They couldn't see that part. The next day, of course, the effects of what he said showed, because the tree had shriveled up. So this is really the key to a loss of faith, is believing what your eyes tell you as the whole truth. It's only the partial truth. And I think one of the best examples is Elisha's servant. Yes, it was true that they were surrounded. But Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes, spiritual eyes. Then he saw, man, the whole hillside was full of angels. And to tie it together, to show you that it was a thing about sight, Elisha blinded the eyes of the soldiers. So faith comes by what you hear. Loss of faith primarily comes by what you see. We look not at those things which... How does the verse go? That's what it says in Romans. But God gives us the example how to look at things. He looks at things that are not, that are, and call them as though they are not. See, he looks at the finished end. And when we get to that stage with faith, we've really gone a long way. He starts looking at it, you know. My mother was so good in instilling faith in me. She made me a believer in myself. I'm not saying that's a good thing, because sometimes I do stupid things with that attitude. I always believe I can do it. I go into it always thinking I'm going to be successful. She instilled faith in me in that sense. I'm not saying that having faith in yourself is a good thing, but I tell you what, you can never go wrong having faith in God. And I've faced many completely, ridiculously impossible situations, most of them too embarrassing to tell you, and God has delivered me. God has rescued me and brought me out. So this is one of the most important things in our Christian walk, that our faith does not fail. And right now we may be all looking at, with our natural eyes, circumstances that look terrible. And yes, they are partial truth. I'm not saying they're not true. Yes, someone is sick. Yes, someone, yes, this is a bill for whatever. It's not a fake bill, it is a real bill. But if God could open our eyes and show us that he can fix that just like that, he can snap his fingers and make that go away. He's done that for me so many times, situations. So faith is extremely important to our Christian walk. In fact, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Don't give up. No matter how bleak your situation is, no matter how impossible, you have to keep on seeking. I don't have all the answers. I don't understand when God decides sometimes in the case of Lazarus to wait, or when he decides to act instantaneously. He has his reasons, but here's where it comes in. Trust him. When finally Jesus said, you know, we're going to go back into Judea, Thomas said, well, you know they're going to kill you. So, all right, folks, he's going to go. Let's go with him. We're all going to die. They didn't understand why he waited, and they didn't understand why he decided to go, but they had committed to following him. And if it meant, okay, the Jews are going to arrest him and he's going to be killed, we're going to go with him. So that's trust. We may not be able to see when and where God decides to answer instantaneously, or sometimes he may delay, because we can't see the whole picture. But there's so many verses in the Psalms about trust. Trust in the Lord with what? Lean not to your... because I'm looking at the situation and that don't make sense. Lord, you need to fix it now. And I'm even going to tell you how to do it. I can tell you how to do it, Lord. This is how I want you to fix it. Isn't that what Martha said? Listen, if you had been here, Lord, he wouldn't have even died. But you see, God wanted glory in that situation. He that cometh to God must believe. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So going back to my first thing, how is faith destroyed? Jesus told Simon, Satan wants to sift you as wheat. So the way he's going to do it is paint you a bleak visual picture with the current senses that you have. He's going to show you a dismal picture that looks hopeless. That's what he's going to do to try and take away your faith. Jesus said, but I prayed that your faith does not fail. That's what we have to do, is remember that our faith has been prayed for. And above all, we have to trust God. So belief is the first step towards God. Belief is the first step with God. First, we have to believe. The Bible speaks also, though, about a measure of faith. Romans 12:3, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. That means that although a lot of our spiritual facets died, God has still allowed us to have the ability to believe, the ability to receive from him. It says every man. Romans 3:27. I'll explain, because it says, where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. There is a law of faith. There is a law of faith, just as how there is a law of gravity. And that's why people who are not Christians, as we call them, can still get miracles done. You don't have to be a Christian to use gravity, do you? You don't have to be a Christian to use electricity. And so that is why, because there is a law of faith, just as though there is a law of reaping and sowing, all the laws that God has created are available to whoever can use them. But they operate differently for someone who is not a believer in God. I'm going to try and show you the distinction. So Romans 3:27 speaks about a law of faith. A law of faith. Everybody has been given a measure of faith, and if you understand the law of faith, you can use it. You can use it. So we see, for instance, maybe my example, that my mother instilled in me an overconfidence, even though I really wasn't even half as good as I thought I was. But she just made me believe I was good, so I would try stuff. And a lot of times we don't do things out of fear. And so we live below our potential, right? So that has nothing to do with religion. It's just that she gave me a confidence and made me believe that I could do stuff. So every man has been given a measure, because the faith is a law. And so this is explained why a lot of people can get miracles who are not necessarily filled with the Spirit or even believing exactly as we believe. Matthew 9:2. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on the bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, I taught about that he saw their faith because it was manifested in their actions. But Jesus turned to him. Here's the scripture. Turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, this is people who are using the law of faith. They didn't ask Jesus. He said, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Matthew 9:29. Here's another one. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you. Matthew 15:28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. What I'm trying to show is these are examples of people who were using the law of faith. They didn't ask necessarily. They just believed and operated the law of faith, because Jesus made it clear it was because of their faith. It wasn't something necessarily he had to do. He said, according to your faith, be it unto you. Luke 7:50. And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. And so what I'm showing you with these scriptures is that in these examples, I believe it was the law of faith that was operating. It was because of their faith that they got what they asked for. So the law of faith works without knowing Jesus necessarily. Not knowing him in the way that we teach you should know him. That's why people can, and the proof of it is when Jesus says to some of the people, he's going to say, listen, I never knew you. But didn't we do miracles? How can you do a miracle? Well, you're using the law of faith. That doesn't mean you have a deep relationship with God. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. See, people don't understand that, but it's because they're operating under the law of faith. They're using the law of faith to get things done, because they believe, and so they can receive in certain circumstances what they have asked for. That's what Jesus said in all those scriptures. But here's the key. With the law of faith, there's things that can block it. Just like with electricity, there's things that can block it. Like you cannot, I've used this example before, you can't wire your house with tree bark. Right? That won't work. Even if the We Energies brings the wire up to your house and you take tree bark and you say, I'm going to believe that the electricity is going to flow through the tree bark. No, there's a way for electricity to flow, and it won't work with tree bark. So the law of faith depends upon belief. It is a law, and it depends upon the measure of faith. It depends upon your faith. So doubt and unbelief stops the law of faith. Look at this, Mark 6:5. The Bible said that Jesus himself could do no mighty work save that he laid hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. It means he was able to do some things, but generally the unbelief was so strong in that area and their total operation through sight, it was such that he did not do as many works there as he did in many other places. That doesn't mean miracles weren't done, but it was an area where unbelief was so strong. That's why it says in verse 6, and he marveled. He marveled at great faith, and he marveled at their unbelief. So the law of faith only works according to your faith, according to what you believe. And that's why it's one way to get things done, but if you are a doubting person, you're not going to get much done that way. Just as how if you are not very skilled with electricity, you're not going to be able to build a TV set. You may have an idea that it would work, but you just don't have the skills to do it. So the problem with using the law of faith alone is that it depends on your faith and how much unbelief you have. Luke 17:5 says, and the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Is that possible? Can your faith be increased? Well, we started off by saying faith comes by and hearing by. So then if faith comes by hearing, then more faith comes by. Absolutely. Another reason to come to church, because when you come, you hear praise reports. You hear how God delivered people. You hear a scripture that tells what God has done. What's happening is if you let those words go into your soul and spirit, they are building up your faith. Luke 17:5, and the apostle saith unto the Lord, increase our faith. In Matthew 21:21, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this, but which is done to the fig tree, but also if he shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Again, what I'm trying to show is that all of this, what I'm showing so far, is what I call the law of faith. But the law of faith can be stopped by unbelief. By unbelief. If you don't believe enough, he says, and it shows that there are degrees of faith, degrees of operation under the law of faith. Because he said, if you have faith as a what? Mustard seed. So that shows you that there are degrees of faith if you're going to operate under the law of faith. So, but when you operate under the law of faith, it is primarily a defensive weapon. Ephesians 6:16 says, above all, taking what? The shield of faith, wherewith he shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I'm going to try, I know I'm going fast. Let me try and slow down and tell you the case I'm trying to build. That there is a law of faith which is open to anyone who knows how to use it. But primarily, it depends upon belief, and unbelief can stop it. So Jesus, in the scriptures I showed before, most of those healings almost had nothing to do with him. He kept on saying, your faith, according to your faith, because they were operating on the law of faith. For that, you don't need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't need to be particularly righteous. I know that's shocking. But again, we see the example that Jesus said there's going to be some people, didn't I do all these things? And yet, shockingly, he's going to say, what? I never knew you. How can that be? That's because they're operating under the law of faith, just like the law of reaping and sowing, just like many other laws that God has set up. It doesn't mean you're super spiritual. In fact, the Bible speaks in the end days there's going to be many miracles done by the Antichrist, right? And it's going to be through the miracles going to deceive many. So miracles alone is not a sign of righteousness or holiness or closeness with God. Very silent. Amen? Can I get an amen on that? So faith alone can get you a miracle, but I want to show you a better way. Right? 1 Corinthians 3:12. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. That means it's going to be shown. For the day shall declare it. You know, when you at nighttime you can't see where you are, you ever been lost, and then the sun starts to come up and you go, okay, I know where I am. So the day when Jesus comes, when he comes, all of the what we have done is going to be revealed. Whatever work we have done is going to be revealed. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. So faith alone can get you a miracle, but it doesn't necessarily mean you have God's favor or blessing or you are close with him or anything. That kind of faith is good. It's good if you can pray and believe and have such strong faith that you don't even have to ask God, because in those situations, Jesus made it clear. He says, your faith. It wasn't that they asked him and then he said, be healed. They already believed so much that he said it according to your faith. So let's look at what is the answer. What is better than just the law of faith? Well, I'm going to show you in Luke 9:1, and it was the first scripture I read. The disciples had been following him for quite a while. They had seen the miracles. They had seen Jesus healed. But there was something more than just operating in the law of faith. Not only was there faith, but look what he does. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. So now, what is this? This is not just faith. This was not them asking God for healing. It was power and authority in and of themselves that they could declare something. They could speak something. They had the authority to heal and to cast out devils, not just on the law of faith, but they had words that they could declare. See, the law of faith works by believing and asking, but in this case, they could declare. They didn't have to necessarily pray to God or ask Jesus, because Jesus wasn't going to be around. He said, I'm going to give you power and authority, and wherever you go, you can just declare. So what I'm saying to you is this. There is the law of faith, and then there is receiving power and authority. And when you have received power and authority, you do not have to ask Jesus to heal. You can declare the healing. Amen. He gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure disease. So here's two things that were missing, or in addition to just the law of faith, power and authority. When do we get power and authority? See, that's different between some people who just believe in the law of faith. They can, through faith, accomplish some stuff. But if you have power and authority, that's much better. Because when you just have the law of faith, that is, as I said, defensive. It's defensive. But when you have power and authority, you can do what? You can speak. Right? You can speak. And we find that that is actually a weapon. Let's look at what they did using the authority. Mark chapter 1:27. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned amongst themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. Jesus gave us an example how to deal with sickness and with. He commanded. For with authority commanded he even the unclean spirits. It's a little bit warm. I can turn it down a little bit. There we go. I'm sorry. Even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. Now let's look at some people who had faith but no authority. Acts chapter 19, verse 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon themselves to call over them which had evil spirits. They were even calling on the name of the Lord. And it's obvious they had faith, else they wouldn't even try it. But what did they lack? They lacked the authority. they lacked the authority. So yes, they had faith, but it wouldn't work. Because in some instances, you need not just the faith, you need to have the authority. Exorcists took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus. They were saying, in Jesus' name, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preached. But you see, they didn't have the relationship. Because the Spirit said, Paul we know, right? Jesus we know, but who are you? They definitely had faith. But in this case, the law of faith was not enough when you were dealing with these spirits. You also had to have authority. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And you know the story that happened. The spirits jumped upon them, and they had to run out and tore up all their clothes and everything. So, yes, you can use the law of faith, and you don't need too much of a relationship, but there, for some things, you need both that, and you need the power and authority. When do we receive power and authority? Right. When go to Jerusalem and tarry means wait until you be endued. Anyone finish it? Yeah, ye shall receive power. Right? So if you're a spirit-filled believer, you're different from someone who is just using the law of faith. Because not only do you believe, but you have the power and authority. So now, the shield of faith is good, but now you also have an offensive weapon in that you can command. When he gave them authority, that meant they had the right to go up to someone and say, Spirit, I declare you to come out. Spirit of infirmity, be gone. They had the right to just say that. Before, when using the law of faith, it was an ask. It wasn't a declare. It wasn't an attacking, offensive weapon. And that's what I'm trying to show you is the difference. So almost anyone who believes enough can use the law of faith. And that will work up to a certain extent depending upon their faith.
And question, in the Old Testament, when that did happen, did it require the person who was receiving the healing or blessing to do something? And then in the New Testament, it was just like an instantaneous thing?
Well, no. What I'm trying to show the distinction is that the law of faith, as referenced in Romans, works based upon, it's all upon you. It's the burden is on you. It's how much you believe, right? And it doesn't work in some instances if you don't have enough faith. It's all upon you. What I'm trying to say, though, is when you have been filled with the Holy Spirit and have been given authority and dominion, it's not all upon you. You have been given delegated authority. That means it's not you at all, right? You have been given the authority, and the authority and the power comes from who? Christ. So it doesn't depend upon you so much, other than you still have to believe, but you have been given the authority to now command. Before, it really did depend upon you. If you're just going to use the law of faith, then it's, you know, you're going to have some faith, even if you don't have to have a lot. And in most instances, if it's an I know I'm going to get technical here, but if it's an inanimate object, that means nothing that is like a spirit, it will work if you have enough faith. But when it comes to a spirit, that might not be enough because you need the power and the authority. Because they have a choice. A rock and a disease, a pure disease, doesn't have a choice. But when you're facing a spirit, you better not just have the faith. As this example in Acts 19, they had faith. They believed it was going to happen. But they had been given no authority or dominion. Amen? So look at this. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority. Are you his servant? Someone answered. Do you understand? I want you to really focus on what this is saying. Jesus is revealing a kingdom secret here. He's saying, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey. He says, I'm going to go away. When he went away, though, but just before he left, gave authority to who? Wake up. What does it say? His servants. Are you his servants? And to every man his work, and commanded the porter to. What that means is, just like he did with the disciples, we should have more than just the law of faith. We have been given authority and dominion, which means we can do more than just speak to rocks and mountains and trees, but we can actually come against spirit beings, which I think is one of the main differences with just the law of faith. Let's look at this. Using the authority is using the word in command. Matthew 8:9. For I am a man, the centurion came to him. I was talking with him. For I am a man under authority. Here's the example. And you see how powerful this miracle was. As opposed to some of the other miracles Jesus did, it took more than just the word because of their unbelief. Look at this. For I am a man under authority. He was saying, I understand how this works. I know that it's not just belief, but you have authority. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. So this is where faith comes in. If you believe that you have been filled with the Spirit, you have been given command authority. If you have a relationship with God, and if your relationship is close, you can command. That's what this was all about. That's why in this case, this was not just the law of faith, because he was telling and really explaining how the authority and dominion, he was saying to Jesus, I know in this case who you are, and I know all you have to say is, let it be done, and it's done. I don't have to ask you, because I know you have already can do it. I don't have to beg you, because you can command it. So faith is the shield. The authority is the command, is the sword. So you can have faith where you just believe, and that is a shield, but it can't do any attacking. But the command is the sword. Luke 4:36, and they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. So I'm trying to make a distinction. When we can have faith, and that's great. You want to go on the attack, then you have to have authority and dominion. And then you can use the word. And Jesus said unto them, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So Jesus was not here just using a shield. He was using the word as a weapon and a command. Get thee behind me, Satan. And Satan has to obey. He has to obey. See, that's why, as I'm trying to say, lots of people, to every man hath been given a measure of faith. Lots of people, if they understood it, have faith to believe in lots of things. But that is not offensive faith. That's not attacking faith. That's defensive faith. And that's just using their own whatever, their own measure of faith is. But you can get more than that. God has promised us more than that. It wasn't that the disciples didn't have faith. They had faith. But then he gave, at a specific time, he said, listen, I give you authority and dominion. Now go. I don't have to be with you now. You go, and now you have authority and dominion. Yes, you had the faith before, but now you have authority and dominion. I don't have to be with you. You can speak to the spirits, and you can tell them to come out, and you can cure diseases. Now, they came across one boy where they failed, and they couldn't understand it because everything up to that point had worked. And Jesus said it was because of their unbelief. You know what happened, I believe, in that time? You know why this one failed? Why did I say faith fails? They didn't see a result quick enough, but more than that, this describes what this little boy was doing, and that's scary. Do you remember the story? He was throwing himself and into fire and all kinds of things. It was a spirit, but I'm saying I believe why their unbelief is because they were looking at this. Exactly. It, in this particular case, it describes in detail what this boy was manifesting. And that's what I think shook their faith. In other, you know, if someone is just passive and sitting there has got a sickness, that didn't bother them too much. They were able to just command. But this had a manifestation that which was so physical. And now, the Bible doesn't say this. It does describe in detail what they were seeing. And even when Jesus, this was a very strong, even when Jesus commanded, the thing was making him tear himself up for a while. It took a while. It could be fear, but again, it was their sight. I really believe, before you came, we were discussing what saps faith, and it's sight. What builds faith is hearing. That's why the Bible says we walk not by sight, right? We walk by faith, but not by sight. Because when we look at a situation, that can really take all our faith. And when we wait for something and we're looking and the situation has not changed, right? That also will take off because we're seeing part truth. We're not seeing the whole truth. The whole truth is, Daniel, from the moment you prayed, I gave the answer, but Daniel couldn't see that. He just had to keep on praying. And it took 21 days before the angel physically manifested. Now, if he could have seen spiritually, okay, God's answering my prayer. But there was warfare. And when we pray, sometimes that's what we forget. The devil isn't just going to lay over dead. He's going to try and fight. Because you notice, even when Jesus was healing that boy, it did not happen instantly because that was a very strong, it threw himself in the fire and Jesus had to really rebuke it before it came out tearing the boy up. It was a fight.
So do you think it didn't have anything to them with not having received the Holy Ghost yet or the...
Well, I think could be part of it, but I think that
it was
because he gave them authority and dominion. So I don't believe it was because they had not received, because he had delegated to them, in this case, power. And I think it says the same thing as dunamis, right? It says he had delegated power, and they had the authority. And he didn't say it was because you didn't have enough power or authority. He said it was because of your unbelief. And I really believe it was because they were looking at the sight of this boy just tearing himself up. And because it didn't happen right away, because I don't know if you can find it, Chris, but if you read it very carefully, even when Jesus told the spirit to come out, it came out, but it wanted to tear the boy up as it was coming out. It didn't just go peacefully. It didn't just go peacefully. So faith is the shield, but the authority and power is the sword. And we need both. We need both if we're going to be successful. Yeah, we can have the shield of faith, but we also need the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, which is, get thee behind me, Satan. And we can declare, we should speak out to our situation. No, I refuse to accept this. You know, there's that show on that I like watching. It's called Mythbusters. Anybody ever watch that show? All right. One of the things they say is, I refuse to accept your reality. What do they say? They have a little saying that they...
I reject your reality and I subject it with my own.
Right. I refuse to accept your reality and I replace it with my own. Actually, that should be our motto. Because if we look at the things that they are as the way they appear, our faith will be sapped. But if we have God's faith, he calleth those things that are not as though they be. So I'm calling... I declare every day when I go into work, I'm going to be successful. I'm going to have God's favor. God is going to bless the work of my hands, even though I don't have a clue what I'm doing, and everybody around me is much smarter than me. Doesn't matter. I have something they don't. I declare victory over them. I declare a covering in my life. Right? We have the power and authority. Not just the faith, but we should also be declaring. So look at this. Luke 24:49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Did you ever find that scripture with the boy?
Yeah.
Okay, if you could read it for me.
Now, there are two accounts of this story. One of them is in Matthew, and also there's another in Mark. I think Mark actually gives, perhaps gives more detail, so
yes.
I'll try with that one. This is Mark chapter 9. Did you want to read the whole
yes.
story, the whole context?
Because I think it's very illustrative of okay. how even we sometimes, we start to look at the situation.
Mark chapter 9, verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with him. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him and saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with him? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away.
Stop there. Do you see how visual that is? You can almost see it. I mean, and that's what they were looking at. And I think that threw them. Keep going.
And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming.
Stop. Do you see, even when he was brought to Jesus, what he did, imagine that's what the disciples saw, and that's what I believe they were looking at.
And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, oft of a child, and oft at times hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him up, took him by the hand, and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out?
Could you stop there? Do you notice even when Jesus cast him out, what the spirit tried to do, try to kill the boy? May have killed the boy for all we know, but Jesus brought him back. Do you see how he fought? He rent. It says he was coming out, but he tore the boy up. Even though he was fighting coming out. Keep going.
Okay. Now, verse 29 says, and he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Little interjection there. That's actually not in the Greek.
Okay.
But anyway, in Matthew 17... In Matthew 17's rendition of this same story, you get that the actual answer, which he says, this is Matthew 17, I'll start at verse number 19, where it says, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you.
Amen. Amen. So... that's what I'm trying to show you tonight, is that we can use the law of faith, but really what we need also is the power, delegated power and authority. And that means a relationship. There's people who try and will be able to do these things, but God is going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. And that sounds so shocking, but it's because they're using the law of faith. But we see that if you're going to come across these kinds of things, you're not going to be able to do it unless you have the power and authority. If you could stand with me tonight. Kept it short. Amen. I hope you were blessed. I want to go back to the very first slide here. This is what we need, is to not let our faith fail. And I hope tonight that you have seen that that is so precious. The Bible describes it as precious. Our faith is precious. But the one great thing about this verse is that Jesus said, I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. Amen. That your faith fail not. Because there's no doubt Satan desires to sift us as wheat. That means blow us away. I showed an illustration. That's how they sift wheat. They go up onto a high place. They take a pitchfork, a winnowing fork, and they throw it up. And the chaff, because it's lighter, gets blown away and the seeds fall. And that's how they sort out the chaff from the seeds of the wheat. And Jesus used this illustration of how the wind would come and catch the chaff and just blow it away. Satan wants to throw us up in the air and test our faith and see whether we are going to get blown away. But he has prayed for us that our faith does not fail. And if you will look not unto the things that you can see, but the things that are unseen. Now, how can you look at something that's unseen? Only by faith. That's what the scripture says. I want to just read that scripture tonight before I close, because I want to quote it correctly. Looking unto the... let me see where that is. Do you remember where that is, Chris? Looking unto things unseen. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Could you put that on the screen there, Josh, for me? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I didn't put this one in the lesson, but if we can find that.
I passed it. I keep passing it.
Amen, because I want to show you a secret here. It's not a secret, it's an open secret, but it's something that we need to refresh our spiritual soul with and meditate upon. Amen.
Okay. 2 Corinthians, I believe, chapter 4. I'm going to start at verse 16, just to give context. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen."
Well, see, this is the key. This is what I was saying from the very beginning. You start looking at your situation, you're going to have a tough time.
"While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen."
And that is the definition of faith. For faith is the what? The substance of what?
Things hoped for.
Things hoped for and the evidence of things
not seen.
Not seen. That's what that is telling us. You look at your situation, your faith, by sight, your faith will be zapped. But if you can see spiritually beyond that and believe, keep going.
For the things which are seen are temporal.
Your suffering, the things you're going through, are going to pass. They're not going to be there forever. They are temporary.
But the things which are not seen are eternal.
Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to close on that. Think about, meditate upon this scripture. This is a great scripture to just meditate upon. Whatever you're going through, whatever you can see that's hurting you, that's distressing you, the Bible says it's temporary. That means it's got a beginning, it's got an end. You weren't always in this situation, you're not always going to be in that situation. It had a start, and it's got an end. But it's the things that are unseen. That means God's love, God's grace, those are eternal. Think about those things. You can't see them, but those are the things that are eternal. Those are the things that are going to take you through. Amen? Let's bow our heads as we close. Father, we just thank you tonight for your word. We ask, Lord God, that these words find good soil, that they will lift up our faith. Even though the outer man is perishing, the inner man is renewed day by day. Hallelujah. We thank you right now, Jesus, for your greatness, for your love. Hallelujah. For the things we cannot see, but we believe with our whole heart, Lord, that you are working them out to our good. Lord, we just thank you right now that you're going to keep our feet, that you're going to bless us as we walk through the rest of this week. Let your Holy Spirit and angels protect us, overshadow us. Lord, we put every situation into your care because we're not looking by sight, but by faith. We thank you now for deliverance. We claim the answer to prayer in advance in Jesus' name. Give God a praise offering. Hallelujah.